Welcome to The Daily Drive. This show is dedicated to keeping you educated, informed, and most importantly, driven to succeed. We want your feedback, so call us at 1-800-437-5121. Everyone on The Daily Drive Show team hopes you enjoy this show. Here's your host, Ken Knorr.
Welcome to The Daily Drive. I'm so incredibly glad that you are here today. Today we have a really great show. We've got Joshua March. He's the CEO of Converse Social. That's a digital care platform that delivers enterprise-scale customer service through social media and mobile messaging channels. He uses AI. He's also the author of the book Message Me. It dives in on how social media, messaging, and artificial intelligence are transforming customer service. We've got him on the line now. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Thanks. Great to be on it.
Absolutely. I'm glad to have you here. You have are the founder and the creator of Converse Social. Tell us a little bit about Converse Social. What is that?
Sure. So Converse Social is a digital customer service platform that's used by really big, like airlines, retailers, telcos, to help do customer service through all of the new mobile messaging and social media channels that have really emerged over the past few years. You know, a lot of people, if they have a complaint or a question for a company, and instead of picking up the phone or emailing, they'd much rather just pull out their phone and send a quick message, you know, over Facebook Messenger or Apple Business Chat or whatever it is. And so big companies use our software in their contact centers to help do large-scale customer service through all these new channels through a combination of automation and also human agents.
I gotcha. And you in the past wrote a book called Message Me, and I know that in that book you talk about AI, artificial intelligence, and how it's transforming customer service. So does Converse Social use some AI?
So part of the reason I wrote the book is because there's been some really huge developments and changes in AI over the past few years. And there's really been developments in two main areas. The first area has been around bots, right? So a couple of years ago, all of the messaging platforms launched functionality for bots, and everyone, the whole kind of world went a little bit bot crazy. But it made it much easier than it had ever been before to implement bots into messaging channels. The other big shift has been the development of kind of real machine learning and artificial intelligence. And you know, if you go back 5 years, this stuff existed, but it was very expensive, very slow, very difficult to implement. Fast forward to now, and there's tons of open source software and platforms. It's become much cheaper, much faster, and that means that it's much easier for all kinds of businesses to implement real machine learning and artificial intelligence techniques. So at Converse Social, we use both of these things. You know, on the front end, we deploy bots for our customers that will handle the first part of a conversation. You know, they'll find out what problems the customer has, they'll collect information, maybe resolve very simple stuff like looking up an order status. But for anything else the customer needs, we'll just hand over in the background to a human agent. That's a big part of our philosophy, is that, you know, you need human agents plus AI. You know, no AI, no bot today can really handle a full conversation. And if you try that, you're just going to frustrate the customer. So combining them together is really, really important. And then we also implement a lot of machine learning and AI behind the scenes, you know, helping to improve the efficiency and the speed of what the agents are doing. And I really think that over the next kind of 3 to 5 years, AI is going to start to play a bigger and bigger role. You know, probably the majority of customer service interactions will be handled by bots and AI in some form, with human customer service agents really just handling, you know, the most emotional customers or the most complex cases and edge cases. And so that's what we're helping to push towards.
That's really very, very interesting. All right. Well, I want to dig into you, as my audience knows, and as we talked about before the show, I want to dig in on you as a person and try to understand and kind of reverse engineer you, take you apart and figure out what makes you tick and what makes you a successful entrepreneur. So I'm going to hit you with some questions here right out of the gate. In a single word, characterize your life as an entrepreneur.
Stressful.
All right, good. Married or single?
Live with my girlfriend.
Dinner and a movie out or dinner at home and Netflix?
Dinner at home with Netflix.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
You're a new addition to the crayon box. What color would you be and why?
Maybe like a dark, mysterious blue. I'll go
a
for.
A dark, mysterious blue. All right. What are your hobbies?
What are my hobbies? I exercise a lot. I like to work out. I did do CrossFit for many years. I meditate pretty seriously most days. And I love board games. I love like super geeky, really intense board games.
Well, that's pretty cool. What makes you happy?
Spending time with people I love, you know, and good friends.
What sacrifices have you had to make to be a successful entrepreneur?
You know, I think the biggest sacrifice is just never or almost never being able to fully switch off. You know, it's waking up early in the morning, kind of dreaming about the business and what we're doing and the next move. And, you know, sometimes difficult to be able to switch that off, you know, into the evenings and at weekends and away. And I think that's the biggest thing. You know, it's always being on in some way.
If we finish this interview and you step outside of the office, and you find a lottery ticket that ends up winning $100 million, what do you do?
I would invest a lot of it into Common Social and invest into a lot of other startups that I'm excited about.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I think that one of the things when we talk to entrepreneurs all the time is this thing called passion, right? And because we love what we do, we don't really think of it as work. That's why that switching off, I mean, it's tough that we're kind of okay with it. If you were to describe the word passion, what does passion mean to you?
Yeah, I think for me, passion is that, right? It's waking up in the morning excited, right? And dreaming about it. It's when you're having a shower and all you can think about is the progress you're going to make. And it's not that it's stressful to be thinking about it. It's exciting to think about it. And for me, that's what passion's about.
What was the moment that I'm going to create this?
Yeah, it's been a long, continuous journey. So I kind of decided I wanted to be an entrepreneur when I was still at college. I'd done something completely different on the side. I was doing a law degree, and I kind of ended up setting up a small business over the summer holiday. And it got me really interested in business and entrepreneurship. And I ended up starting an e-commerce company while I was still at college, which failed miserably and was very painful. But it definitely got me the kind of entrepreneurial bug. And I decided that the one area that I was really missing in that had contributed to the failure had been a kind of complete lack of understanding about digital marketing. And so I started studying everything I could about that and got really interested in social media, which was just emerging at the time. And then Facebook launched their application platform, this was in 2007, which allowed third parties and businesses to start developing applications on top of Facebook. And I just thought this was like a really incredible opportunity. You know, I'd been part of the kind of social media generation. I was one of the early users of Facebook at college and things like that. And I just thought this is a really powerful way for businesses to start engaging and interacting with customers in a completely new way. And so I started to learn to program and started to learn everything I could about Facebook apps and meet with other developers and ended up starting a company called iPlatform that was one of the first ever like Facebook app development agencies. And we became one of Facebook's first ever partners globally. That was like 13 of us in the world at the time, so 2008, 2009. And it was a very exciting time, but I pretty quickly came to this kind of realization that a lot of the Facebook apps, it was kind of a fad, right? There was a lot of excitement around it. We were building apps for big brands, and they were winning awards and making loads of money. But I was like, oh, I can't really see how this is actually impacting the bottom line of these businesses. And for me, I wanted to build something that was, you know, big and sustainable. And for me, that meant doing something which you could really clearly see the value that we were bringing to our customers. It wasn't just the kind of exciting new thing, but it was like really impacting their numbers. And so I started kind of thinking, well, what is that big opportunity? And spent a lot of time just kind of thinking about that and looking about that. And that kind of led to the vision for ConvaSocial, which was that I really saw that there was just this huge shift happening, right? The iPhone had just come out. Smartphones were kind of emerging. People were shifting how they were interacting into smartphones and into social media, and messaging was, you know, right at the early stages. And I just really believed that that was going to become the default way that people were interacting, which sounds kind of obvious now, but go back to maybe like 2009, 2010, when I first started thinking about this, and it wasn't necessarily obvious to everyone. But I really believed that, and I believed that as all communication shifted into these platforms, it would have to change how companies would communicate with their customers. And so the kind of founding vision of ConvaSocial was, hey, let's build software that helps companies communicate with their customers through all these new emerging channels. And that's really what sparked it. And it kind of then developed. We kind of started working on it as an idea, and it really developed over the next kind of year and a half to the focus we have now, which is, you know, really helping large enterprise companies do large customer service through all these new channels. But it's been an evolution of that vision from the very early days. And then 2011 was when we officially created ConvaSocial as a company, and we separated it from the agency and sold the agency and raised venture capital for ConvaSocial. So it's been an iterative journey, I would say, over the last kind of decade.
Tell me about your first customer. ConvaSocial, were they hard to get? Were you surprised? What's that story of that first customer?
Sure. I mean, the first real customer we had is actually still a customer today and was very pivotal for us. It was in the UK, and it was Tesco. Tesco are one of the biggest retailers in the world. They're like number three in the world, kind of the Walmart of Europe in some ways. And yeah, we were just getting started with ConvaSocial. We had the kind of big vision. We had a very basic product. We weren't really sure where we were going to focus. We didn't have the focus on customer service at the time. And Tesco, this is kind of early 2011, they were investing heavily into social media and Facebook, and they were starting to see that they were getting a lot of customer service issues, you know, a lot of complaints, a lot of issues. And their marketing team, who had been managing social media, you know, didn't really have the capabilities or the training to manage that. And so they were one of the first companies in the world, really, to recognize that and say, you know what, we're going to set up a team of customer service agents in our call center who are just going to be handling social media. And they went to Facebook and said, hey, Facebook, like, we're doing this. Who can help us do it? Like, we need tools, we need software to do it, and we don't know what's out there. And so Facebook said, well, you should go and speak to ConvaSocial. We were a close partner of Facebook, and they knew that we were kind of working around the edges of that space. And so I started personally traveling out and spending a lot of time in these contact centers. And we did a kind of small deal. It was a pretty small deal to start with, but we said we'd be happy to help. And I personally went and did all the training and helped get the software going. And sat down with their customer service agents and watched as they were trying to resolve these complex cases in messaging and in Facebook. And I sat with the customer service managers and understood their challenges trying to manage these agents. And they were very gracefully kind of showed me how they did things over email and how they did things over the phone and chat. And it was really pivotal because that helped me understand, A, like the opportunity I saw just how big, you know, customer service was, and I started to come to this like strong conviction that as all communication shifted into these new channels, customer service would have to shift as well. So I saw that it was a big opportunity. I also saw just how complex it would be to build a full like enterprise customer service platform, and very different to what the marketing teams who were managing social up to that point had been asking for. And so that all kind of came together and was really the spark in some ways that helped us go, you know what, we're going to pivot and shift 100% and focus 100% on customer service. And that's what we did. And we're still working with Tesco today. They now have hundreds of customer service agents doing customer service through messaging and social media on ConvaSocial. So we've kind of developed a lot with them as a client, which has been pretty great.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to our sponsor, That Company.
Why is That Company the white label digital marketing provider for some of the biggest agencies in the industry? Because we get results, we retain clients, and we deliver profitability. Visit www.thatcompany.com to find out how we can make your agency more profitable.
If you want to give us feedback, call us now at 1-800-437-5121 or drop by dailydriveshow.com. Make sure you add us to your Alexa daily briefing skill. Don't forget that you can listen to us live every day on WQBQ at 7:30 a.m. The show wouldn't be possible without the Daily Drive Show team, web guru Taj Royer, executive producer Josh Cardoza, and the social media man with the plan, Roy Wilson. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow.